blessed and merry Christmas to all of you. For those of you who are visiting today, I want to assure you that the entire service and the music is in the bulletin. However, you may refer to the songbook if you are following the musical notes. Let us begin our service. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make us glad by the yearly festival of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we, who receive him joyfully as our Redeemer, may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Israel. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the letters to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's every being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Merry Christmas to all of you, and God's blessings on this very, very special day in the life of God. Please be seated. Well, I want to welcome you all here to St. John's Cathedral, and I also want to acknowledge our choir and the beautiful music that we have this morning. I mean, our choir has done... Okay, there you go. I mean, they have really done stellar work, and we're here yesterday at 6 and last night at 11, and also came in this morning to give us the joy of God's music. Well, Christmas Day is a very special day because, in a certain sense, we human beings get our first look at God. And so we need to get that picture very clear and straight. Back in the opening century, the 15th century in England, a priory of the Order of the Star of Bethlehem began to gather street people and indigents and care for them. In time, this place became the hospital, the Bethlehem Hospital in London. But soon it became a lunatic asylum, as it was called then. And over the years, Bethlehem was shortened and slurred into the word Bedlam. And Bedlam became the name for any lunatic asylum. And in time, the word Bedlam came to mean wild uproar and confusion. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch of the imagination to think of our own country with all of its difficulties financially and with the social dissension going on among us as being in Bedlam. And so we always come at Christmas time, I think especially, for hope. For hope in a world that is seething with bedlam, but we come for a hope that paradoxically is resting on the shoulders of an infant. Imagine that. The destiny of the world and the mopping up of all that is amiss rests on the shoulders of an infant. And so we are alerted as we take this perspective that this is no ordinary infant. I saw an editorial that railed against the commercial bedlam of Christmas. And the columnist ended, he said, "But we still need Christmas in a deep and lovely way. We need to feel lumpish in the throat. So let's be sentimental and enjoy it." So we have moved from Bethlehem to Bedlam to our modern time of saying, let's feel lumpish in the throat. Now, the world into which Jesus came was a world of bedlam. There was war, there were diseases and illness, and no medical doctors as we have. There was hunger, cruelty, and massive domination. And Jesus came to change bedlam, a place where chaos rests and grows, into Bethlehem, a place of hope and rescue. Now it's easy among all of the tinsel and beautiful trees and the wonderful celebrations that we have, it is easy to overlook the depth, to dig beneath the wrappings to the birth of Jesus. Let me illustrate. I have a dog named Yogi, and I point at something that I want him to look at, and he looks at my hand, and it becomes clear that it is so easy to miss the essentials when one is called to pay attention. Now, the biblical narratives are hard to penetrate, let's face it. They are filled with mystery, and yet that mystery itself is an invitation to hope in something better, something greater, in God. We have Mary, a virgin. What do you make of that? And up in the sky, we have angels singing. "Be not afraid, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And I can imagine people wondering, why him and him only? Who is this Jesus? And then we have that mysterious star hovering on the horizons. And we enter into what some might think is a wonderful world of fantasies, stories for children. And yet these narratives were not, first of all, written for children. Of course, we want our children to frolic and enjoy Christmas. After all, they are our children, and they are the children of God, and they need to be embraced by the Christmas story. But the stories were written down by adults in that first church for other adults. And the stories were trying to convey the mystery of the birth of the Son of God in our midst. That's a mind-blowing thing. If we weren't so accustomed to it, to say that the Son of God was born of a Virgin Mary. So the stories convey a mystery that is inexplicable And there is a true instinct at work here in all of these details. It's an attempt to grasp that the impossible has happened, that God came to the earth and took on our flesh. That has happened. And the impossible is described in language that you might say is fantasy or children's stories. But is really an invitation to hope against hope for a future not of human hands or human imaginations, but born of God. Now, there's a lot of Scrooges around in this time. This is when Scrooges come to life, I guess, at Christmas. I'm one of them at times. And they decry the commercialization, the crassness, and the blatant sentimentality of Christmas. And yet, over the years, Christmas endures as a magical time of the year. Now, I, and perhaps you, have often flailed against commercialism, the sentimentality which seems to define what Christmas is this day. Yet there is too much pain, too much suffering, too many close to dying. Too much of that to take these extreme statements about the birth of Jesus in such a way that we deprive people of the hope that Christmas gives. You see, there's simply too much disappointment, too much evil in the world, if you will. Evil people can't avoid. Evil that well-meaning organizations can't prevent. And evil that even nations find themselves embroiled in. All you have to do is look at the news. Yet in these excesses of Christmas, there is an irrepressible hope, a groping for hope, if you will, in a dark and fretful world. And Christmas does give us a great relief from these things. Now remember that the Christmas stories were written by believers for believers. They are not immediately read or written for those who are on the outside. What I mean is, what's a person on the outside to make of a virgin birth? Or picture angels actually singing to what we heard yesterday, singing to mangy shepherds and giving good news to them. But like a lot of our family customs, these Christian traditions occur in our own families. And our traditions have a deep meaning for us that outsiders might think that these traditions are quaint or odd, and yet they're the stories that bear and bring our family close together. And it's the same way with the nativity stories. You're part of a family of God who come to the creche and kneel at the altar and hear the Christmas story read year after year. And for you, it is a word of hope and blessing and joy. So I want to ask the question, when were these stories written? Well, one thing we can say for sure is that they were written after the resurrection. And so it's the community of the resurrection. People who are alive by the illuminating presence of the risen Christ in their lives, and they're telling these stories, family stories, stories of joy and wonder and hope. And I can hear them cry out, "What child is this?" And maybe not as a question. I mean, a question would be, "What kind of child is this?" Or there could be an exclamation point. We say, "What a child! What a child! The Son of God, my Savior." Well, they are tall tales to tell. As I said, if you think about the virgin birth or the angels singing in the sky, these things can simply overwhelm our imagination. How can these things be? What kind of child is this? But if you read those stories apart from the resurrection, they can seem rather silly, childlike, maybe to some even ridiculous. So apart from the faith of God's people, all that is left for Christmas is a lumpish feeling in your throat. On the other hand, we know, we've experienced through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Christmas story is a life-giving story. And these stories teach us a lesson about history. The Holy Spirit teaches us that the purpose and goal of history rests not in our hands or our imagination, but in the hands of an infant who will get out of the crib and die on a cross. And in those nail-marked hands is the hope of the world, that God does not leave us in Bethlehem, but calls us to Bethlehem, to his love and saving power. You know, this is a lot unlike Disney. Unlike the make-believe world of Disney, the story of the birth of Jesus actually does impact the pain and suffering of this world and gives us a peace that the world cannot give to us, a peace that the gaming parks cannot even conceive. Christmas is the bearing of the bearer of the meaning of creation. It's the indication from God that is inescapable of his purposes for the world. In looking back at the incarnation from the vantage point of the resurrection, and you are resurrected people, the Holy Spirit enables us to see in Bethlehem the intentions of God for his creation. Put it this way: the Christmas stories are an invitation to move from the bedlam of this world to Bethlehem. From a life of ever diminishing years, especially as you age, you're aware of this, from a life of ever diminishing years to the birth of God's Son, who leads you through your holy baptism to a life not of diminishing years, but to a birth which leads to expanding years, to eternal life. Not to decline and bend over and go down, but to ascend and to reach out to the Lord Jesus, the King of the resurrection. Our brothers and sisters in the Greek Orthodox Church sing this at Christmas: "Heaven and earth today are united, for Christ is born. Today has God come down to earth, and man has ascended into heaven." Think of it. Heaven and earth are united today, for Christ is born. Today God has come down to earth, and man has gone up to heaven. To which I say, Merry Christmas. Amen. Let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our safety, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world. We pray especially for the people of Egypt, Syria, and the Philippines. We pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. For the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be our Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. In the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us into your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit in the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God to the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who in the Word made flesh, joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor. And the blessing of God the Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Go forth in the name of Christ.